everybody. Welcome to Renewing the Center. Welcome to the podcast. We're jumping back into the daily lectionary in the Anglican Book of Common Prayer. And before we jump in today to a short passage focusing on God's grace in Titus 2, I just want to say thank you for joining us and participating in this podcast. It just means a lot. One of the strange parts about podcasting is you just do it all by yourself. And occasionally I forget that people listen to this thing. And so it's always really fun when someone comes up and says, hey, thanks for doing that podcast. It kind of reminds me that the stuff I do here alone in my office is actually getting into some of your ears. So thank you for participating. And I would just love it if you'd tell your friends and tell people who you think might benefit from some regular reflection on the Bible. This has been and continues to be a lot of fun for me, and I hope that it continues to be fruitful in your own life. Let's jump in. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, before we get into a reflection here, we ask for an awareness of your grace. We pray that you would cause your grace to abound to us, that you would cause wave upon wave upon wave of grace to come to us today, Lord. God, I pray that as we think together about what grace is and what it does, Lord, that you would make us more mindful and more solicitous, God. I pray that we would be more intentional around asking for your grace and asking for an awareness of your grace and thanking you for the experience of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I once heard somebody define grace using this Titus 2 passage as a kind of template, as the empowering presence of God that enables us to be who God has called us to be and to do what God has called us to do. And there are surely lots of definitions for grace, but I really like some of what's in that sentence, the empowering presence of God that enables us to be who God has called us to be and to do what God has called us to do. I think what we see here in Titus is really significant, that grace is not just simply a synonym for kindness or mercy, that there's something powerful about grace. And so what the writer of Titus tells us here is that grace trains. The powerful presence of God, it empowers us, it trains us. And we see in the writing two ways that grace trains us. There's two negations. It trains us to renounce sin and to move away from desires that keep us and separate us from the goodness of God. So there's two things grace empowers us to not do, right? To renounce and reject sin, hamartia, to renounce the places where we continually miss and cause injury to ourselves and others and damage our relationship to God. Also trains us to renounce desire that moves us from the goodness of God. Every one of us, we're creatures of desire. And y'all, it is no good to try to kill desire. We've done that to our great peril. You are made by God full of desire, and yet many of us in our fallen state become increasingly aware as we seek to try to please God that some of our desires actually move us away, that we have disordered desire. And I think that's actually really important for us to consider, because in today's world where we are taught by the wider culture, and I would argue taught by the power of the age, that all desire is good, we miss something. You are a creature full of desire. God made you that way, and yet some of our desires move us away from God's best for us. Not all desire is aiming true north, and one of the jobs of grace is to give us the power to move away from desire that is disordered. He wants our desire to be rightly ordered. But there are three positive. Grace trains us not just to renounce sin and to move away from disordered desire. Grace actually trains us to be self-controlled, to be upright, to be godly. And I love that. Two negations, three positives. The grace of God is at work in your life if you are a believer to train you to be self-controlled. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, but it's also a part of the work of grace. God wants you to ask for grace to grow in self-control. There's a sense in which we ask for the grace of God, the empowering presence of God, to actively teach us and train us in the arena of self-control. And one of the things I love about the notion of training is that training increases our capacity. It's true in our physical fitness. It's true in intellectual or academic pursuit. It's also true as we ask the grace of God to increasingly increase our capacity as it relates to self-control. Grace also trains us to be upright. And I love that idea of being upright. Immanuel Kant said, we are crooked timber, as in we're bent. Sin bends us. Grace trains us. It increases our capacity to be upright, to live upright lives, to be people who are straight before God, which then connects to this third thing, this third positive, which is that grace trains us to be godly, to be like God. One of the first things followers of Jesus were called is Christian, and it was actually a derisive term, little Christ. People outside the faith said these people are like trying to be like little Christs, little Jesuses, and yet the church and the body of believers adopted it and said, yeah, we are. Grace trains you to be like God. You are made in the image of God, and yet we are crooked timber, and one of the jobs of grace is to train us to be godly, to increase our capacity to resemble and reflect the image of God in the way that we live and think and pray and relate. What a gift grace is. Grace also, in this short passage, enables us to wait. And there are two things that grace enables us to wait for. One is hope. And I love that because we need hope in order to live our lives with courage. And we're told elsewhere in the Bible that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And some of us are discouraged. There are parts of my life right now where I'm discouraged. Grace enables us to wait for hope. And we're not good at waiting. I think it's worse maybe now because of all the instant gratification that we have. You can have a thing shipped to you from another part of the world in just 2 days. You know, we buy things instantly here, there, and everywhere. Our world of convenience makes it harder and harder to wait. And yet, part of our fallenness, our brokenness, is that waiting stirs a lot of anxiety. It stirs fear in us. It stirs all kinds of things that make us feel very uncomfortable. It's one of the reasons why we have a hard time even just waiting in line without getting our phones out. We don't know how to just be present in a place of waiting. Increasingly, our bodies and our minds want to do something to distract. Grace enables us to learn, and it increases our capacity to wait for hope. So today, if you're discouraged, part of the grace of God's work in your life is to increase your ability to wait for hope, even as you sit in maybe a hard or challenging space in your life. So I want you to name your discouraged places and ask for grace. Ask for an increase of grace. Ask for an awareness of grace. And specifically, we can ask for it as it relates to hope. Where are you hopeless? Where do you have less hope than you want or need or feel like is required in order to be present in the situation that you may find yourself in right now? Let's ask for grace to enable us to hope, to wait. But we also, the text tells us, receive grace that enables us to wait for the coming and the glory of God and the person of Jesus. This speaks to us of the beauty of resurrection and restoration. We've said this elsewhere here on the podcast, and if you attend Trinity, you've heard me say it in sermons. You know, I think the way to understand the Bible very simply is through four movements: a good creation, a fall, redemption, and the restoration of all things. God created the world to be good and we messed it up, right? Just three chapters into our Bible, we see the fall of man and woman, sin enters the story. And then the rest of the Old Testament is this back and forth where God is calling us and we struggle to respond to his call. The prophets do it. The law tries to do it. And we always fall short. It's a mess. And then Jesus comes. Redemption comes in the cross and the person and work of Jesus. But we're told that God is going to one day renew and restore all things through renewal, resurrection, heaven coming to earth. Grace enables us to wait for God's restorative work. And it's hard to wait. Like we said, we're not wired to wait. Grace increases your capacity to live in the tension of the now, even as you long for the not yet. Then every one of us, if we're honest, we long for a future that is not yet. We long for things to be better than they are, for things to be clearer than they are, things to be purer than they are, cleaner than they are. Grace enables us to live in the shadowlands even as we move toward God's great future, the resurrection, the hope that he has for us. And when you think about the work of grace, the powerful work of grace as it relates to waiting for the restoration of all things, the glory of God and Jesus, this is what enables us to get to work with God as participants in kingdom work here and now in the midst of all the brokenness and the pain. Grace enables us to engage today in light of tomorrow, to engage the valley in light of the mountaintop, to engage the darkness in light of the coming dawn. Grace gives you a kind of compass that moves us through and forward and actually helps us to wait actively, not passively, not in a distracted way, but to wait with a kind of active hope and anticipation that God is moving, God is working, and so I can work with him even now. Even in the midst of circumstances and situations that aren't what I want them to be, even in the midst of being where I don't want to be, wanting to be further along to experience things with greater clarity than I do, grace enables me to wait actively and hopefully for where the story is headed. And so what we see in these few short verses is that the grace of God, the empowering presence of God that enables Christians to be and do what God's called us to be and who he's called us to, who he's called us to be and what he's called us to do, there's so much here. So when I ask for an awareness of God's grace, when you do, we're asking for this. This is more than just a general sense of kindness or well-being. There's something powerful at work here, something that is able to train us, increase our capacity, stir hope in us. So my prayer for you today is for the abundance of God's grace to be with you. I pray that you would experience the abundance of his grace, the training, hope-inducing, teaching you to wait kind of grace. So I want to call you to ask for it. I want to call you to become aware of it. I want to call you to begin to expect the work and the fruit of grace, even as you live your lives right here, right now, in the midst of the shadowlands. God bless you. Go in peace and go in grace. Amen.